This is Leo Baybue for KTWH, and this morning I'm reaching out to local climate activist Mike Overend of Larsmont. Dr. Overend is a retired veterinarian. He's a father, a concerned citizen, and a member of the local chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby. It's been a while, but welcome back to Two Harbors Community Radio, Mike.
You know, Leo, it's really good to be back. I'm glad you've invited me. Thank you.
It's always a good idea to talk to somebody who's studying the green energy and climate crisis like you are, Mike, but especially this morning I looked you up because you wrote an op-ed column in the Lake County Press published just a week or so ago that highlighted the opportunities that utilities and us individuals have to pursue green energy technologies for our power sources now that the price of solar, wind, and associated energy storage has been dropping dramatically relative to our fossil fuel energy sources. So in your article, you gave a lot of online links for folks to check out to see how they could be investing in beneficial electrification for their homes. And you described something new to me called the CARS concept. It's a pretty simple acronym, I guess. It stands for clean, affordable, reliable, and safe green energy. So Mike, I'm giving you a major assignment. We only have a certain amount of time on the radio, and there's a lot of things that we could talk about here, but I was looking for your help to explain beneficial electrification, what it refers to, maybe to help folks understand that it could be a really good idea in their lives to electrify as many of their various uses of energy as they can, even though, frankly, right now, we still have a substantial proportion of the electricity in this area that many of us are buying that does come from fossil fuel, either coal or natural gas powered electricity. But nonetheless, can you talk about that beneficial electrification and all that might mean for us?
Well, thanks, Leo. I'd be happy to do that. And it's such a big topic. I think we can scratch the surface, perhaps, but we'll do our best to answer your questions here. And I would just say that beneficial electrification is going to be the topic here. And overarching over that is the fact that Congress gave us an opportunity a year ago by passing probably the most transformative piece of legislation in history to affect us and our children and their children to come, and that's the Inflation Reduction Act. And you can think of that as the bill that was designed to improve every American's energy efficiency and to save all of us money. When you posed your question, I can tell you that we currently use fossil fuels to power about 60% of our lives globally, but unfortunately, much of this energy that we burn the fossil fuels to create, much of that energy is wasted. And in the process, the fossil fuels we burn create over 50 billion, with a B, tons of greenhouse gases, plus enormous amounts of air pollution that are creating enormous problems for our health and for our planet. So renewable energy has become the most inexpensive and reliable, truly reliable form of power to power our lives. Electrification, changing from the use of fossil fuels to do many of the jobs that we need done in our lives, heating, transportation, and a number of other things. Renewable energy has become the most inexpensive and reliable way to do this. But electrification, instead of using fossil fuels, is a much more efficient way to power our lives. It wastes much less energy and doesn't have nearly the pollution that's associated with using fossil fuels. Using renewable energy to create clean, affordable, reliable, and safe, or CARS, acronym for renewable energy, we can use this renewable energy to power 100% of our lives. And if we do that by focusing on electrification and using renewable energy to run that electrification, it's termed beneficial electrification. Our electric utilities are actually moving rapidly towards the goal of 100% renewable energy, and the state of Minnesota last session asked them to do this by 2040. We need to move other parts of our lives beyond our electric utilities towards the same goal. So on our end of the energy scheme, we know that we need to make our buildings, our homes, and businesses more energy efficient by electrifying them. We need to do the same thing with our transportation, so transitioning to electric cars, trucks, trains, ships, and planes, or using alternatives to the fuels that we use now to power them that are going to be much cleaner and more energy efficient. We also need to move our industry and agriculture to the same type of renewable energy or electrification type of scheme to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And most importantly, save us money and improve our health. So beneficial electrification stops pollution and it saves money. And it's a win-win for every single American.
Wow. Well, it's a little bit like if you have seen the movie Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, because there are different compartments to what you were talking about. One is how we individual consumers in our homes and in our lives and are moving ourselves about, our recreation, our taking care of our outdoor environment with our lawnmowers, chainsaws, snowblowers. There's that, all of our individual activities and whether or not they get electrified. And electrifying them could be a very good thing even before the grid is fully converted to renewable energy. I just wanted to get at the idea, Mike, that we don't want to wait until we have a perfectly green grid, right? You're talking about making the changes both at the energy production level and at the individual household level. Which comes first? Which is more important? Or are they all important? How do you look at that?
Yeah, I think it's a great chicken and egg kind of concept. And
yeah.
I think it's got to happen on both ends of the equation, Leo. And I would say that our state legislature has already done an important part of this by creating the rules that our utilities are going to be following. They're going to do their best to follow this pathway towards creating all clean power for us as soon as possible. There are expenses involved with it, short term or near term, I should say. But in the long term, it will be more cost efficient for them and for us. And changing how this happens, this is a cultural change. And I think it's really important for people to think about that traditional ways of doing things, when you go to ask people to change from that, it is very, very difficult. It's difficult on an individual level, a community level,
absolutely,
national level.
Yeah.
So I was going to say that the utilities are out in front of the rest of us in terms of making these changes. It's not that they are embracing it with great joy, but they
It's not from altruism per se.
Not necessarily.
But there is a law.
but they are doing their best, and they are in the lead. But now it is really up to us to do our part as well. Our goal in using beneficial electrification is to make our lives more energy efficient and save money on energy bills. And the main focus that I want to share with you today is that we can do this by taking this process of beneficial electrification to our homes. We concentrate on our homes because this is where we spend most of our time, and they contribute a tremendous amount to our energy burden in our country and around the world. So if we can electrify our homes and our commercial buildings and use renewable energy to power them, that will solve 30% of our quote-unquote climate crisis problem. And at the very same time, it will do enormous good things in terms of our health and our economy. As an example, we know that we can utilize the Inflation Reduction Act as a source of financial help in accomplishing these changes in our homes and in our businesses and in our communities. And I looked it up. The average Minnesotan is expected to be able to get about $12,000 in help from the Inflation Reduction Act over the 10-year life of that bill. That is important to understand and recognize, but it's also important to understand that every single home is different, and it's different not just in appearance, but also in energy performance and energy efficiency. And there is no one single solution that helps every single home. So I was going to tell you that from my perspective, from the expert's perspective as well, they have all recommended that as a first step, what we should do is find out what our home needs to make it more energy efficient. To do that, you need to hire in an expert to come to your home and do a home energy audit and identify what you need to do to fix energy problems and save money.
Could you entertain a thorny question in that subject, which is if that's such a critical step for millions, hundreds of millions of Americans, it may fall to the people that have the means that can do that kind of survey of their home, that they get more of the benefits from this law unless we can help people to have those energy audits conducted.
And fortunately, that was built into the Inflation Reduction Act.
Okay.
And so the Inflation Reduction Act will cover $150 of a home energy audit.
Is that an amount that gets the job done?
It's part of the amount.
Okay.
And there is, I don't know that there's going to be an exact number that I can quote you for the average cost of an energy audit in Minnesota or across the United States, but I do believe that if it's done comprehensively, which is what should really be done, where they use an infrared detector to look for leakage of air through walls, around windows, through doors, and if they use what's called a blower door test to see how quote-unquote leaky your home is, those are the elements that really are needed to determine what extent of work needs to be done in your home. And I am a veterinarian by training, and I know that it was terribly important in my career to determine what's wrong first, make a diagnosis before I tried to prescribe any kind of care. If you shoot from the hip, you're going to regret it. And so it's important to identify where the problems are and fix them specifically.
Well, not trying to be combative, but what you just described mostly applies to maybe by far our biggest impact carbon footprint-wise. I don't know. You're talking about doing a home energy audit so that we understand our needs for space heating of our homes. But there are many other areas in which we use fossil fuels for cooking, for drying our clothes, for heating our water. Does one have to wait till one has an energy audit to do anything in pursuing beneficial electrification? Or are there just obviously low-hanging fruits that almost everybody could start considering?
Yeah, it's a good question. So my suggestion would be this, that I am not asking, nor I think the experts are not asking you to immediately transform your home, your business, your nonprofit building into the stellar example of energy efficiency in one fell swoop. It's not possible. Logistically, it's not possible. But it does make the most sense to start at the beginning. And the first best step is to evaluate your home with a home energy audit. And the difficulty right now in that process is that accessing these energy audits is the hard part. It's a quote-unquote choke point in the process.
Do we have a supply chain issue?
No, yeah, we do. We really do.
Human beings able to
exactly. Be and so the experts will say, please contact your utility and ask them for assistance in scheduling a home energy audit. And if you do that in our region, I think you're going to be disappointed by the response you get from your utility. I may be wrong. I hope I am wrong, but I think it's going to be difficult to do. Having said that, I can tell you that for people that live in the Arrowhead region of Minnesota, you can, if you can't get help from your utility, reach out to Equilibrium 3, located in Duluth, and they can schedule an energy audit for you, but there will be a mileage fee associated if you live a long ways from where they are.
Right.
And there also are private energy auditors that are available if you look them up on Google. But my suggestion is that this is still the smartest thing to do. Now, having said that, you should also know that you'll take the information from an energy audit and you will try to make a plan that will allow you over that 10-year period that the Inflation Reduction Act is available to transition your home or your business to a more energy efficient configuration. You don't have to do it in a set order. Every home is different. Some homes will need one element, others will need another element. Some need much work, others need very little, but it's important to identify it first. And then, as life comes along, if your hot water heater decides to give up the ghost, that's a priority and you need to replace it. That's the point where we're asking you to use the financial help from the Inflation Reduction Act that was designed to make the cost of a new water heater that's much more energy efficient, because it is a heat pump water heater run by electricity. They have made it so that the Inflation Reduction Act will give you enough money to make the cost for that new heat pump water heater the same purchase price as a traditional natural gas or electric powered water heater. So if you need to replace your water heater, use the Inflation Reduction Act to help you get that done and start off with a much more energy efficient appliance that will save you lots of money in energy costs over the life of that appliance.
Well, thanks, Mike. That's a great practical example of what you're really describing as almost a generational series of changes. I mean, because I think way past the 10 years that you're saying that the Inflation Reduction Act will be applicable, people will still be continuing the process of beneficial electrification. And we can try to get in as many of the perks that our household could benefit from in purchasing these things that are reaching the end of their natural or unnatural life expectancy and needing replacement in our lives that run on fossil fuels like a water heater. When it's time to replace that, this is a great time to be looking at that. But how, short from diving in and pursuing the home energy audit and a full assessment of how to make one's home really much more energy efficient and much more light in its carbon footprint, aside from doing that, are there things that people can do to make themselves better acquainted with what the provisions are and how tax credits happen under the Inflation Reduction Act and or the rebates that are available? Is there an Inflation Reduction Act for Households for Dummies manual out there?
Yes, Leo, there is.
Or do they need to call you? I can give your personal
Yes, I'd take number. I'd take your call at 2 o'clock in the morning, but for those that are desperately in need of the knowledge. But I will just share with you that the best place is to look for information. And this is a really good way to get started, too, is to inform yourself about this with easy-to-use resources like rewiringamerica.org. Rewiringamerica.org. Another one is the Minnesota Clean Energy Resource Teams, or Minnesota CERTS. And the third one is Fresh Energy. Those are all three wonderful resources that have an enormous amount of information if you're interested in learning more about this process. I know that for some people, it's important for them to know as much as possible about a topic before they get involved with it. And for others, they're willing to just rely on what experts recommend. And wherever you land on that spectrum, one of those resources should be able to help you significantly with the process. Rewiringamerica.org is great because it has nifty little IRA savings calculator right on the website. You plug in just a couple really easy pieces of information and it will show you what you should qualify for. And the funding process for the Inflation Reduction Act is complicated. This was a 700-page piece of legislation. It is very complicated. I'm still trying to understand it. Many experts are still trying to understand it. But it really boils down to that there are two levels of help that you can get from the Inflation Reduction Act. For those people that are fortunate enough to make a living where they actually owe money in taxes, if you make a good enough living so that you actually pay taxes, you can receive tax credits. And these are designed to help you afford these upgrades in your to make your home or business more energy efficient. For those of us who aren't fortunate enough to pay taxes because we don't have a high enough income, they have set aside money that is designed to provide rebates on the purchase of these energy efficiency items, whether it is insulation for your home or windows or new wiring or appliances like water heaters or something to heat and cool your home. And those rebates are being created now. They're being created in our state, Minnesota Department of Commerce, Division of Energy. It's a complicated process, and they are trying to get this available as soon as possible. We were hopeful it was going to happen in the early part.
Can I interject? Yep. Is the goal, though, for it not to be complicated for the consumer?
Yeah.
The rolling it out has been complicated for the agency. Okay.
Yep. It's complicated for the agency, but the goal is to make it simple to use. And I'm going to put a little bit of history in here that when President Joe Biden took office, in the first week that he took office, he created an executive order that was labeled Justice 40. And that order said that if the federal government spends money dealing with the climate crisis or with the environment, they have made certain that 40% of every dollar that is invested by the federal government goes specifically to help people in need, people of lower income that are most impacted by these problems. And that was a message that went across went out to every single member of his cabinet. Every single federal agency has been specifically ordered to follow that Justice 40 initiative and make sure that the people that need the most help get the most help. And the Inflation Reduction Act built upon that, and it was designed to make sure that no one got left behind and that everybody, especially the people that need the most help, are benefited by this once-in-a-lifetime piece of legislation that is designed to make life better for our children and their children to come. Much better.
Well, fantastic. We've been speaking today with Dr. Mike Overin from Larsmont about all things beneficial electrification and addressing the climate crisis through change made in both at the big industrial and power production level, right down to everybody's household, and looking for the benefit to the planet and to everyone's well-being, their bank accounts and the financial security of their families. This rollout of the rebate program in Minnesota seems really important, Mike. I might like to have you back when we know that this system has been rolled out and people can start taking advantage of it, because I want people to not be chomping at the bit forever about when they can take advantage of this. Sometimes you just need to be notified. The program is ready to go. And I'd love to have you back on when we can talk more about that.
Thank you. And I want to clarify, the tax credits are good right now.
They are.
You can go out and make a purchase. And
okay.
If you pay taxes, you can write them off on your taxes that you're paying on 2023 and years to come.
Are they limited by a certain number of dollars per year, Mike, or in some other percentage of your project? I'm fishing for some details to leave people with.
It's interesting because, as an example, if you choose to put solar on your roof, for example,
right,
this will pay for 30% of whatever figure that comes to. Now, the utility that you work with will have limits to some degree. Oh my gosh, maybe you know, Leo. I want to say that it's a, I'd have to look
that up. I believe it's a 40 kilowatt.
40 kilowatt. Better
capacity.
Edit that out.
You never heard this, anyone out there in radio land.
No. But I do know that projects like solar, battery storage for your home, geothermal heating for your home, those are all based on a 30% formula. When you get into air source heat pumps and you get into, like if you're going to buy an electric car, that qualifies for the tax credit because it meets the requirements laid down by the Internal Revenue Service. They were involved in creating these rules. The maximum you can get for a new car purchase is $7,500. And for a used car purchase, it would be I believe it's $4,000. And so, but there's lots of rules associated
sure.
with those.
You have to have qualifying systems.
I hate to speak off the top of my head like this because there are very specific formulas that you can look at to that show exactly what it is. And the rebates, I believe that some of the rebates will be available for both for people that do pay taxes and as well as for certain for those people that don't. And in general, if the federal government offers these incentives to make your life more energy efficient through the Inflation Reduction Act, and you can get rebates from your utility or from the state of Minnesota, they do work together and you can piggyback them so that you can get multiple benefits from different incentive programs to help make this more affordable.
Great. My head's swimming with the possibilities, and they're good possibilities. That, hence the question, is there an Inflation Reduction Act for Dummies manual? It's kind of a rhetorical question, but it's certainly a subject that by revisiting, Mike, maybe we can refine some of the emerging information when the rebate program's rolled out by the state.
Yeah, and I would just finish by saying go to rewiringamerica.org. That is your simplest single one-stop shop. And for Minnesota-specific information, Fresh Energy or Minnesota Clean Energy Resource Teams, they'll all serve you well.
Great. Thanks so much, Mike, for joining us. I hope to have you back soon.
I'd be happy to do that, Leo. Thank you.
Excellent. I appreciate that. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Mike Overin. My thanks to Mike for getting us thinking about next step towards energy smart living in a time of climate change. We want to talk more about needed changes in our energy economy with local residents and decision makers in the months and years to come. Now's the time to keep our eyes on the prize, to act in ways that matter, and do it soon enough to make a real difference for the climate and for our own financial well-being. This is Leo for KTWH.